shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so here we go, kids. Episode, what is it today? Episode 239. You've got a couple of reruns right in a row. So anybody who was listening to my show on Monday may have been thinking to themselves, wow, this last couple segments of political commentary and political philosophy is way more scattered and ADD than is even normal for Andrew, which is hard to do, admittedly. And I knew I was off my game. I knew my brain just was not working well that day, and I was just feeling like I wasn't running on all cylinders. And, well, we kind of figured out what happened because I got sick. I got really sick. I still haven't figured out what it is. It doesn't kind of like conform to strictly a cold or strictly a flu. I can't tell if I'm running a fever. I couldn't find my thermometer, and I never went and bought one. I haven't had a huge cough or anything. I don't know. It's just like, I mean, no real strong symptoms other than, you know, congestion and stuff. And I feel like I'm running on one out of four cylinders. I just have zero energy all of a sudden. I'm just like, oh gosh. So I'm better today. I mean, better than I have been. I'm maybe on like two cylinders or three, two and a half cylinders. I do pretty good until I get up and try to do something. And then it's like I go downstairs to refill my tea or something. And I get winded hard. It's just like walking downstairs. I mean, not even walking upstairs. I mean, I got a little dizzy after just walking back up the stairs earlier. So I'm like, I'm kind of not on it, you know. But I feel a little better, you know, when I'm not, as long as I can just kind of stay immobile. I'm supposed to go to back to the lovely town and people of Flint, Michigan this weekend, leaving tomorrow night. So I've been on the mend and getting better every day. So I'm hoping that all I got to do tomorrow is get on a plane and fly and go to bed. So I'm hoping that by Saturday morning, I'll be enough on the mend to get up and do what I need to do to push that amazing project forward. Yeah, so that's what's been going on. So that's why you got a couple reruns. Here's my philosophy on this, is that there are times when I'm like, okay, it might not be magic, but I got a shot at putting something out that is uniquely me and kind of remotely interesting for the people who dig what I do. And then there are days where I'm like, you know what? Either I'm just too busy or too upset or too just completely out of it, or I'm upset in the wrong way, or I'm just distracted in the wrong way and I've just covered by a bunch of practical stuff and I haven't been able to reflect for a few days, or I'm just sick or something like that. And, you know, this is a show we put out Monday through Friday, but, you know, if I can't do something worth, you know, listening to for the people who dig what this is. Now, there's probably a lot of the times this show is not worth listening to if you don't like this kind of thing, but I do something fairly different than what most people do. But if I can't put something out that I'm kind of proud of, that I think, yeah, that's something that people who dig The Counterposition are going to like, I just won't do a show. And so this last couple of days, I think actually some of you ardent listeners would have dug what I would have came up with when I was all sick and out of my head. I should have just recorded some shows and just made it only available for the friends of the show. so that I could get texts from Michael Miley about how out of it I sound or something. But anyway, so that's what's been going on this week. So, man, I tell you what, there's something about being sick, you know, that I don't know what it is. Being sick I don't know if women are like this. I know a lot of men are like this. Being sick just reduces you. It like turns back the clock and you become a kid again. And you go back to the rituals, you go back to the foods. It was amazing. On cue, Allie Cavanaugh sent me that box of Golden Grahams. And like when I get sick, I crave bowls of cereal. And so it's just perfect timing. I got sick and I was rocking the bowls of cereal. So, oh, hey, and also one of the good things about getting me out of my head, being out of my head and doing a show on Monday when I was already starting to get sick, is I abandoned all reason and gave out my recipe for the curry pumpkin chicken soup, which I can't believe I did on the air. I literally almost went back and deleted that episode. I really thought about just going this, at least pulling the podcast or something, so there's no permanent record out there for download. So I may still come to my senses and do that. So if you haven't got my recipe for the curry pumpkin chicken soup, do that. So go back and listen to it on Monday. So it's funny, yeah. So as I was saying, you know, it'll take me a little longer to get back to the thread sometimes today. I'm still pretty out of it. So so you know what you're getting into, this is the I'm still kind of sick. I'm in recovery. My brain is not functioning on all levels show today. So it's going to be a little random. I probably have some coughs and some snorts in the middle of it here. I crave the foods of my youth. I crave the rituals of my youth. Now, I think that there's certain things that everyone does when they're sick. Like when I'm sick, I can't read. I love the idea of like, oh, it'd be awesome if I just kind of got sick and not too sick like I was, just, you know, where it's like I'm contagious and I work in food service, so I'm not going to go in and I get really tired really easily. So I'm just going to hunker down at home. But it'd be great, man. I could work through some reading, maybe get some writing done. No. When I get sick, I am molded to the couch or my bed. And I've kind of, you know, I have roommates, so I've tried to stay kind of quarantined in my room. Luckily, I have a fairly good size room with kind of a living room area kind of attached to it. So I've been hunkered down in the recliner with the blankie and just like watching TV the whole time, and anytime I try to do anything other than that, it's just not working out. So I crave the rituals, you know, the blankie, the couch, bad TV, and then I've kind of adopted some new rituals since I've grown older, the rituals of being sick. One of them is making chicken soup. So now that's a old school thing, but when you're, you know, you go through this phase where you're, well, my mom never made me chicken soup. I mean, she opened the can and heated up the chicken soup, but I immediately, the moment on the way home from, like, I went home on Monday, like hey, big shout out to Ryan Farrell for covering my shift at the day job, and all my entire staff, Caitlin and Sarah, who have stepped up and helped out this week. So on the way home on Monday after Ryan took over for me, I swung by Trader Joe's, got everything that I needed, and I noticed I was just picking up stuff that's like stuff from my youth, stuff that I wanted to eat, that's like things that my mom, versions of what my mom would make me when I was a kid. And so I went and got a whole chicken and some good water and a couple of vegetables I didn't have on hand and stuff. And I came home, and on the way upstairs, I just put a chicken in a pot of water, no browning it, no nothing, just put a chicken in a pot of water, salt, pepper, in the same big red tramontina stock pot that I was talking about the other day. Put it on the absolute lowest, knowing it would take forever to even get hot, and just forgot about it. Came back downstairs later that night, and I had like a big old pot of chicken stock, you know. So I tore that chicken apart and left the bone, put the bones back in, and rolled it for another several hours. And then I've been just living off that broth and making little soups out of it here and there and stuff, making some chicken and rice out of it. But there's something about real chicken stock that you just crave by instinct when you get sick. And there's reason that bone stock is really good for you and good for your immune system and stuff. So I did that, and And then I just, obviously, I was like craving cereal. Like, I crave big bowls of cereal when I get sick. And like I said, on cue, Allie Cavanaugh had sent me an entire box of Even Better Than Golden Grahams, generic Golden Grahams, which I'm out of, by the way. So if anybody wants to send me a box of Golden Grahams, you're welcome to do so. Actually, I'm going to try to get paleo. So I think I'm going to try to go autoimmune paleo reset thing again during Advent, if not maybe before Advent. I've been eating like absolute crap here lately, and I think that's part of the reason I was able to get sick. I ate pretty good for the last couple years, and I haven't been sick. I haven't taken off time for being sick since I, for like 2013. So the rituals of being sick is something I'm kind of interested in. The combination of foods and place and kind of recreating place, you know, recreating, you know, you got your big soft thing to lay on. You got your particular blanket. You got the particular clothes you put on. You got your tea that you drink. You got whatever that is for you. Chances are there's shades of that going back into your childhood. And just, you know, I never thought about this. I'm thinking out loud here on the show, which I am want to do sometimes. It seems like being sick somehow takes us back to kind of the level of kind of wellness and kind of threat to our existence. And some, maybe that's why it taps us back into our youth in that way, you know, and kind of it gets more primal and takes us back to a time when our existence was a little more precarious. So, all right, I'm done ruminating on the rituals of childhood being sick. Let's go to the break. You're listening to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Wade.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. See only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Redbox Media. All right, you're listening to the sick day episode of The Counter Position. You know, it's funny. I was talking about rituals and things that we kind of turn back to give kind of, how to say it, kind of a, there's something like, you know, there's like the concept of muscle memory, right? You know, where you've done something so many times that to make you not have to think about it every single time, your body can kind of wire it. I know whenever, like for instance, I used to temperature surf on my La Marzocco espresso machine. I learned that technique from David Shomer. And it would trick the machine back when it had a mechanical thermostat into coming back to a more stable range of temperature during the time you would pull the espresso shot. And so you would pull the dirty portafilter out of the group, pulse it to get rid of some coffee filth that's kind of up in the group, knock it out, clean it, redose it, and then before you came back in, you'd pulse just like a half an ounce, you just hit it for half a second, turn it back on, put it in, and then go. So these machines were made to they're made to function best in Italy in a train station pulling hundreds of shots, right? They're more stable the more they're in use. Right, so you in a slow shop, there were certain tricks to trick your machine into thinking you were making more coffee to make it stable. That's just a really long example that I wouldn't have used had I not been sick. I wouldn't do that. But whenever we got PID, I think it was that positive integral differential It's literally old NASA technology that many people from different industries kind of applied after it was declassified. It's the technology that kept the outside of the space shuttle very within a very thin margin of error temperature wise, and so. Our industry is one of them that decided to pick that technology up and run with it, right? And when you put that on a machine, you have like 0.3 degree of variance during a shot. You don't need to do that temperature surfing. It's this really cool digital stuff handling your temperature regulation. So I didn't need my left hand to reach up and flick that toggle switch off and on before I put the portafilter into the group, right? But it's been forever, years, and I still catch myself doing that because I had just pulled tens of thousands of shots doing that, that my left hand wants to do it without my brain being involved, right? So that's kind of like muscle memory, right? That's just the ingrained nature of habit. It is in the muscles, but it's up more in the gray matter. It's what fires together wires together, you know, with synapses, right? So when my whole body is turning towards that machine and my right hand has a tamped portafilter in it, my left hand wants to go up and just clear that group one last time. And so that's what I'm talking about. Now, I think there's something kind of like, there's certain rituals in our life that kind of play to that. And I think that, I think being sick is one of those things. And I think that we start going back to the elemental and we start going back to, you know, I mean, there's obviously just our species wants to rest, so where we rest where we rest, but we get bored, so we rest where we won't be as bored, which translates to the couch or the comfy chair with the TV, right? Excuse me. Or you can, you know, reading a book in bed if you're that kind of person that can read while you're sick. I mean, I can sometimes. This time around, my brain was just like not functioning on that level. So I mean I think there's some kind of like non-ritual aspects, but like the food you crave are different in every society, and I think that has to do with like what you were given when you were young, right? So there's a couple of rituals that I've developed I've been doing for so long that they've become part of my ritual, part of the thing that I crave when I'm sick, part of the thing that I do. And I talked about one of them, which is making chicken stock. Now, so it's funny, I'm on this kick of giving out recipes on the show right now. So we're going to hit some key sick day recipes. I gave you one. Okay. So normally when I do chicken stock, I get one of the organic pastured chickens, the cage-free chickens from Trader Joe's. I normally would kind of rub that down and put some thyme and some lemon and some onion and stuff inside the cavity, roast it, eat the crispy chicken skin off the outside while I'm picking it clean, pick all the bones clean, get all the meat off into a bag, and then I would put those roasted bones into and I would usually roast that over some veg scrap. You know, I save the ends of the onions. That's something if you don't do, you should do, is just keep a here's how I do it, and this is pretty ghetto. I keep a big freezer bag, a gallon or two, you know, one of those big freezer bags, in a pinch, even a couple of plastic bags from the grocery store. And, you know, you throw your the ends of your onions when you chop them, the ends of your celery, the ends of your carrots, that, you know, that one or two little carrots that were left out of the bag you didn't use, throw them in there. And you have carrot, celery, and onion frozen. And I just kind of open up the bag and add to it until I've got a full bag of veg scrap in there. And then when I have a full bag of veg scrap, and it's like time to make stock, right? So you scatter all that, you know, that veg scrap all over a pan and throw those a chicken or two on top of them, salt them down, put some stuff inside the chicken to make it taste good, roast it up, right? And then that's the stuff, all that roasted vegetable and all that that those bones from that roasted chicken, you put into a Dutch oven or a stock pot, pour some good water, salt, pepper, and just boil it for a really long time. I mean, I put a splash of apple cider vinegar to get more of the stuff out of the bones, you know, get more calcium and stuff and more gelatin off the knuckles, off the joints and all that. But you don't have to, you know, and then I just roll that for a long time, right? So, but you don't have to do all that. That's one style of kind of a roasted chicken stock, and I think it tastes really good and it makes a good soup. Another thing you can do is what I did. I was sick. I didn't want to do much. Come home, throw a raw cold chicken into a pot, cover it with water, put salt, and I usually just do like uncracked peppercorns. Just throw a bunch of those in there. Put a lid on it, put it on your absolute lowest flame, and forget about it until you have stock. It'll make it a stew the meat and make it really, really soft and stuff. It's good. I mean, I don't like it as much as the other way, but it's worth doing. So that's one of the rituals I do is, and then what I did was I pulled the meat off the bones, and which by that time it's just falling apart. It's almost impossible to get out of the pot. And then I went ahead and chopped up some vegetables I was going to use for some soup later. And I just threw the ends that I had. I might have, cause I didn't have any veg scrap frozen. And just throw that in there and boil those bones for a while longer in the same stock. So that's a quick, easy, fast and dirty way to do it. And it makes a pretty delicious stock. The other thing that I make is hot toddies. Man, hot toddies have become an absolute ritual for me. I can remember growing up, my aunt and uncle, my Aunt Rabbit, my Uncle Jude, always making hot toddies when one of them was sick. And with Old Crow whiskey, my Uncle Jude always drank Old Crow, which is really bad whiskey. and he wasn't much of a drinker. That isn't, you know, but he just kept it around for hot toddies, it seemed like. Or I never really noticed him drinking it very often. But I don't know what it is, but a good shot of honey, the juice of a full lemon or two, a good shot of whiskey. I like bourbon for my hot toddies. And then just hot water, man. There's something magic about that combination. Lemon juice, honey, whiskey, hot water. And maybe it's just an excuse to day drink because you're sick and bored, but I'm telling you, the hot toddy is absolutely magical. And you know, it's funny. There is kind of like, there is a small aspect I like about being sick in the sense that you kind of like, it's one of those chances you get to kind of just let things go. Now, that's what frustrated me is that in the middle of me being sick and calling in and not going to work, we had a major problem with some drainage at the shop. We had old coffee and stuff kind of like dripping onto the floor from the plumbing that was evidently 4 years ago installed incorrectly going into the case, the refrigerated case that we have. So in the middle of being like sick, like right when I was the most out of it, I had to go down to the shop and stand around and work and kind of make a bunch of decisions with this repair guy. And that was the absolute worst. I mean, that is not what, I hate dealing with repair people and all the options around a repair and all that when I feel good. But all the intricate stuff about us not knowing kind of where that pipe goes and what's going to do this and da da da, and all the different options about what are the chances that's okay to do and how much is it going to cost and all that. It's like, oh gosh, it's literally one of my least favorite parts of running a small business, and it sure as heck wasn't what I wanted to do while I was sick. So but when I wasn't busy doing that, I was at home drinking lots of DayQuil, NyQuil, and hot toddies, which it kind of just puts you outside of time. You know? It's almost a mystical space, the hot toddy, you know. All right, so let's go to the break, and I've got another recipe for being sick when I get back. You're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley.
Then how we crave a hanging in this dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. Alright, so this is the sick day episode. I had things I wanted to talk about while being sick. Well, I had things I wanted to talk about and I'm sick. But, or I'm on the mend right now. I'm not too bad right now. Not enough to go in and risk getting someone sick, but not enough not to do a show. But I'm actually turned into this show where I'm ruminating on different things related to being sick. Which, hey, I'm just going to go with it. I was hoping an idea would emerge. All right, so we've talked about making chicken stock. That I gave you my two different recipes for how to make chicken stock. We talked about the most glorious part of being sick, which is the hot toddy. Now, I have friends in my life that are giant champions of the hot toddy. And one of them is no less than my good friend Ann Breiling. So I want to give a firm, ardent, vigorous, sick day hot toddy shout out to Ann Breiling. I should have got a hot toddy while I was doing this show. I'm doing pretty good on time. Maybe I'll make a hot toddy between the third and fourth segment. That way, I can be drinking a hot toddy, but you know, I won't get all loopy on the air, you know. All right, so chicken stock hot toddies, bowls of cereal. Thanks to Annie. Thanks to Allie Cavanaugh. Got some Golden Grahams. That's been on the agenda. The other thing that I do, and I cannot talk about this. I can't talk about being sick and the nature of being sick and recipes around being sick. Until we, without talking about the Coffee Boy Sick Tea. This is the week I'm giving away all of them. I'm giving away all the recipes. I am not, and I will not, maybe for like my 500th episode or something. I am not giving away my recipe for the curry chicken salad. So those of you who are listening who have known me for a long time, do not get your hopes up. There are no amount of hot toddies that are going to get me to give away that recipe. I have only given away that recipe one time. And that was to the Justin Schneer's mom. I made her a batch of it. I made and laminated and sanitized the recipe and I put it inside the batch and gave it to her for Christmas one year. And that's the only time I've ever given that recipe out. I've had friends from two different cafes contact me on Facebook. They have begged, guilt-tripped, pleaded, bribed, flattered, even seduced their way attempts to get me to give that recipe away. It's not going to happen. So it's not that hard, really. If you know how food works, you can figure it out. Anyway, but here's a recipe for you. The Coffee Boy Sick Tea. So first, I want to tell you the story of the Coffee Boy Sick Tea and how it's evolved. So, and then we'll bring it full circle to a previous recipe where we kick it up a notch. To quote the early days of the Food Network movement and Emeril. Okay, so I'm in my shop in Fillmore, California one day, called Coffee Boy. They're on Central Avenue in the bustling metropolis of vigorously small business supporting people that was Fillmore, California. God, that was a lot of facetious statements in one sentence. Suffice to say, I was in the middle of a business project that started rough and ended worse. And there was a lot of joys during my time in Fillmore, California. One that was worth doing all of it was meeting and building a relationship with Perry West. And so Perry worked for me in high school at that shop. And He is my roommate in Denver, Colorado today, and he started off as a high school kid that was sweeping floors to help get free coffee, taking the trash out because my back was trashed, you know? So I'm in my shop, which was a half a block at that time from the home of my best friend, Justin and Hope Schneer. So Justin comes down one day, pops in the shop, and of course I'm always like, things get easier when Justin walks in the door because he knows what I'm going through and he loves me and he's a supporter and he's like one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And so Justin comes in and he was hurting, man. He's like, dude, coach, I'm a hurting unit, man. I need to, bro, man, you got to help me out here. I'm hurting, man. I'm doing my sick Justin Schneer imitation. Dude, man, I'm hurting. You got to hook me up, man. I need something here, man. So I'm like, I got you. So I just threw into a cup every tea I had on hand that I thought would be good for being sick. And I just put everything else in that cup. So what I ended up that first time around with was lemon ginger mint tea from morecoffeeteaandspices.com. I got some green tea and some chamomile, and I put it all just like I made this tea bag like bulging, and I tied it up and I put it in the cup, and I put like a medicinal shot of honey in it. I put I put the juice of a whole lemon and half of the actual lemon with the rind and everything into the cup. You know, stirred that all up, put that lemon thing in the cup, lemon piece in the cup, and gave it to him. And he like sat there and drank it and was like all about it. And I put it all in a big old like to-go cup with a lid on it so that it would filter out any seeds or in the big piece of lemon and all that stuff, right? So I put that in there and I give it to Justin. And Justin was a hurting unit, man. I mean, he was sick. He was really sick. And then so I sent it off. I sent him off with that tea, and he went back home. And just a dude rolls in the next day looking like $100, man. He's like, okay, looking like $1 million. I mean, he's looking good, you know. He feels good. And I'm like, he's looking at me like, dude, you healed me. That tea is like magic. That's like Chinese medicine or something. And so hence the lore of the Coffee Boy sick tea. So the shop was called Coffee Boy. I made Justin the sick tea, and the Coffee Boy sick tea was born. So I ended up opening a shop in my hometown in Missouri, or like not my hometown, but my adopted hometown of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And sure enough, I would get sick. People would get sick. I'd break out the Coffee Boy sick tea. You know, and sure enough, it gained a similar reputation for being able to like put the hurt on a cold or a flu, right? So I ended up moving to Colorado and opened this shop down at the Augustine Institute. And so I started making the Coffee Boy sick tea for me and the staff, and I decided to kick it up a notch. The first of two kicking up a notches. And so what I did was I put lemon, ginger, mint, peppermint, green tea, and chamomile. Or lemon, ginger, mint, chamomile, and green tea, just like I always did. But, and the lemon, and the medicinal amounts of honey. I went to raw honey, and then I put chunks of fresh ginger into it, right? So I actually like chunks of real fresh ginger. 16-ounce to-go cup with the lid on it. And we were making those for ourselves. So 1 year rolls around. I got barely enough of this stuff. I got enough for me and my staff, you know. I just have a few lemons. And so, you know, I think one of us was sick. So I grabbed some stuff. And so I was kind of feeling it, you know. And so I had some stuff around from when one of us had been a little sick. So Ted Sree, he goes by Ted when you're sorting it. So Dr. Edward Sree walks in and he's like, he's trying to teach a class, and he's like, my throat is giving out, I'm not feeling well, my voice is giving out. what do you have for me? And I'm like, I got you. So now an intensive class is when all these people come from all over the country to take a class inside of a week. So there's like 40 extra people on campus, right? Way busier than normal. Usually I'm short staffed because someone on my staff is in the class, right? So it like fixes Ted. Like it fixes Dr. Sri, and he says on camera, he thinking he's doing something nice, you know, hey, you know, I want to thank publicly Andrew Whaley for making me this amazing tea concoction. It saved my voice, you know. And next thing you know, it wasn't even on the menu. Like all these people come upstairs wanting to buy this sick tea. So I had to send someone real fast to the store, buy bags of lemons and a bunch of ginger, and had to double down on everything we had. We ended up cutting it all up in advance and putting them in a Tupperware and rebuilding out all the little tea bags in advance and having cups with the tea bag already in it with hanging off the edge with tea, with honey already in the bottom. So all we had to do was squeeze a lemon, throw it in, throw some ginger in, fill it up with hot water, and hand it to someone, tell them they need to stir it, you know, because we were cranking out 10, 15 of these at every break. It's just absolutely crazy. So there you go, Coffee Boy Sick Tea. And so then, last year, I think it was, I got sick. This was a couple years ago. I got sick, and I needed some tea, and I was making a tea, and I was trying to decide between making some sick tea and making a hot toddy. And then it dawned on me that all the hot toddy stuff is in there except for the bourbon. So I made Coffee Boy Sick Tea, and then I added the bourbon to it. Oh my goodness. It's all I'm gonna say. All I'm gonna say is, oh my goodness. That kicks it up an even bigger notch. So there you go. Man, I'm giving away all the family treasures here. So let's go to the break. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then all the colored glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dope.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, final segment. I feel like the fat boy is taking the last lap. I feel like I've ran a mile. Oh, the old open mile. Coach Henderson, why did you do that to us? All right, so you're listening to the Sick Day episode where I just got out of my head and I'm giving away the farm, man. I'm giving away all my good recipes. So far, you have gotten two different chicken stock recipes. You've gotten the recipe for the hot toddy as I make it, which is a pretty simple version, because you're sick. You don't want to go with anything extraneous, you know. And the Coffee Boy Sick Tea, which for a while I kind of kept the recipe close to my vest. But I've decided that there's enough good that could be done in this world by the sick tea, so I've been pretty free with that recipe. So, and don't miss it. The combination hot toddy Coffee Boy Sick Tea. Just make the Coffee Boy Sick Tea with the fresh ginger and everything, the upgrade version, and then put in that shot of bourbon to make it a Coffee Boy Sick Toddy. Boom. I'm telling you what, it will make your life so good. It may not make you better, but it'll make you feel way better about being sick, you know. So, you know, I like the idea of people getting sick. This sounds like a horrible thing to say, but anybody who's been listening, this is the Sick Day episode. Another thing that I like is snow days, right? I love when nature stops us in our tracks and reminds us of our mortality and of the precarious nature of existence. That, and also makes us stop being productive or attempting to be productive, and makes you feel certain things like snow days or weather or internet outage or something like that will stop you from being productive and will give you the freedom to not feel bad about not being productive. And so that's sick days are kind of like that. You know, when you're sick, you're like, man, the very fact that I care about this project that I'm supposed to be working on makes me not want to work on this project today, because I know that the work that I'm going to do is just not going to be very good right now. So it alleviates the guilt. So you're like, look, man, I'm sick. You know, now I understand that the version of sick that I keep talking about is the single person version of sick. And it is one of those moments when I am happy to be single is when I'm sick. Well, no, I'm not happy to be single. I'm happy to not have kids when I'm sick. It'd be nice to have a wife to help me with the chicken, so she could make some good chicken stock. And I could just like eat cereal and drink hot toddies and watch TV. But what in the world? So funny. So I just got this new iPhone 7. And every once in a while, a certain combination will sound like the trigger words for it to open up that thing by voice. I'm about ready to deactivate that because I was just sitting here talking to you, and all of a sudden, my phone was telling me that it didn't understand what I was asking for. I'm like, what? That kind of creeps me out that that's listening all the time. You know, I'm just conspiracy theory enough to think that maybe Apple is in cahoots. All right, so enough about being sick. I want to talk about a couple of things. This should have been the chatty first segment, but I went right into the sick thing. First of all, the Cubs are in the World Series. I haven't mentioned it. I haven't acknowledged it. You know, as a Cardinals fan. You know, I mean, as a Cardinals fan, it doesn't really hurt that bad. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't accidentally just bumped into a World Series. I mean, since the 40s. Heck, even won one. I mean, you would think, just by the statistics, just by the numbers, you would think they would, you know? I mean, I don't know. We've won, what, 11, I think? So it's like, I mean, we just take that for granted that every few years we're going to get in the World Series. And most of the time, you know, inside of a decade, we're going to win one or two. Yeah, it's just normal. It's just how it works. You know, we're just used to it. So I don't begrudge the Cubs getting into the series. You know, well done, Cubs. Now, I have to say, though, is that the only thing, as a Cardinals fan, the only thing we love more than watching the Cardinals win is watching the Cubs lose. So I have suddenly become an ardent Cleveland fan. And on Facebook, there was an argument that broke out about whether or not I need to have some league allegiance, you know, and root for the Cubs. Or I should, as a Cardinals fan, I should appreciate excellence no matter where it's found, even in Chicago. All to which I say, bah, humbug. I am a Cardinals fan. And I cannot possibly appreciate, root for, or in any way support the winning of the Chicago Cubs. I think that there is room within the realm of charity in these trivial matters that for a certain amount of partisanship and lack of charity. There's room within charity for a certain lack of charity when it comes to certain things. And I think baseball is one of those things. You know, and to quote and to paraphrase what John Paul II said about soccer, which I did one of the few things I disagree with him on, that among all the things that don't matter, he said soccer matters the most. And I said, or football matters the most. I say, of all the things that don't matter, one of the things that matters the most is baseball. So there you go. I'm not a big sports fan. I'm not this big guy. I couldn't tell you. And I don't follow them during the season. I don't even know who plays for the Cardinals. I just grew up an hour south of St. Louis, and so there's a, it's kind of like being sick, right? There's something primal, something kind of like existential attached to the Cardinals and all that is good in this world. So the Cubs are in a series. They're 1-1 now. They're playing again tonight. And oh, no, they're not. They're I take that back. They're on. They're not playing tonight. They're on the road, and then they're going to play in Chicago tomorrow. So I can't wait. I really want to see Cleveland beat the Cubs at Wrigley Field. That's going to be amazing. So what else has been going? Okay, so a friend of mine did an experiment. This is a shout-out to Jacob Machado. Jacob Machado is a really good, I don't know what I say, he does graphic design, he does video, he did this really cool kind of lo-fi video of Perry West, the Wolf song back in the day that's on his page. I just love Jake. He says he has a really good, he has a real deep understanding of design and the role that that plays in ministry and everything. But he did an interesting experiment and he put it up on Facebook where, and I'm not surprised by this, but he signed up for all of the email blasts from both major campaigns and from both major parties, and you know, Democrat and Republican, Clinton and Trump, just to see how they were approaching their email marketing. And he got way more stuff from the DNC and from Clinton's campaign. And he was kind of, and he was looking at the signatories on it. They were like, you know, from an email address attached to Clinton or Obama or the Democratic National Committee. So, and even they were all coming through into his normal folder. So he went and checked his spam folder, and tons of stuff from the Republicans and from Trump's campaign, with people like Trey Gowdy and Donald Trump and the RNC as the signatories, the people who are sending, and it went into the spam folder. I kind of cry foul on that. I mean, I'm not rooting for Trump or anything. I'm not going to vote for the man. But it is interesting that these things that we think are these passive tools in our world, like Gmail. Now, that's how he was talking about Gmail accounts. He was using Gmail. So Google, I mean, Google wears their liberal bias on their sleeve. There's no doubt. But that's interesting that you start adding up little things like that, Facebook, media coverage, all that stuff. There's, we're kind of over into that. What we see is shaped, you know? So there you go. The last thing I want to talk about a little bit, and I'm probably going to not have time. I just want to throw it out as something that I find kind of interesting. Speaking of ritual, speaking of liturgy, that I always talk about, like liturgy when I go to rock concerts and we have these, this form of thing play out. Something that's really interesting is the Apple keynote, the Apple special event format. I watched the live event where they announced the new MacBook Pro and some new stuff today. And it's interesting how people are still riffing off the theme. You know, some are tucked in, some are not tucked in. None of them, all of them are wearing like dress shirts, not the mock turtleneck, but they almost all have the jeans on, and they're trying to keep the spirit of Steve Jobs and his mock turtleneck with the jeans and the running shoes, kind of like that was part of the thing. And the, you know, in the reveals and the bringing different people up to show things, it's just, it's a format that hasn't changed in a long time, and we come to expect it and take part in it if you're kind of in the Apple cult. And it's interesting, it'd be interesting to look at that. I mean, a lot of people have looked at Apple through the lens of religion. It'd be interesting to look at the keynote as kind of like public liturgy, so to speak. That might be something I might explore in the next episode. So, all right, so there you go. Let's pull the plug, pop the cork on another episode of The Counter Position. Thanks for hanging out with me while I'm sick. Hope I didn't bore you too bad. I'll see you on the other side.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.